Right now, let's go ahead and get our Bibles out. Turn to Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. I'd rather get it taken care of before we get started in it, right? And thank you for coming out. Thank you for your patience there and waiting until we finally got things together here on our part. And Joshua chapter 2. Sunday nights, we've been going through and teaching on Bible characters, little-known Bible characters that have a powerful message for us. And I believe the Bible character that we're going to be looking at tonight has a very powerful message for us, and I trust that it'll be a blessing to you this evening. Joshua chapter 2, go ahead and stand with me, and we'll read the Word of God together. We'll start reading in verse 1 and read down to verse 14. Now, this is Israel getting ready to go into the Promised Land underneath the leadership of Joshua, and Joshua sends two spies in to report back. To let them know exactly just what's taken place in the land of Canaan. The Bible says, "Then Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.' And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, 'Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country.' And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, 'Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all of the country.' And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, 'There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were come.' And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up in the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they were, which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto them, 'Men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, and that ye shall save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all they have, and delivered our lives from death.' And the men answered her, 'Our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business, and it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee.'" And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you tonight, Lord, we are still a needy people. Thank you for what we have received this day up to this point. But God, I believe that you have more for us and something that we have need to receive. And I thank you for each one that's here. And I pray, God, that you'd give each one of us that ear to hear what you have for us this evening. I pray that you would empower the preaching of thy word once again. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, as Israel was to go into the land of Canaan, and they were instructed as they would go in that they would utterly destroy the inhabitants. Now, the reason for that is the inhabitants were atheists, or they served other gods, and they had all sorts of different types of religions and a lot of different ways to live, and God's people were to live specifically on looking to Him. They were not to add any other gods, small letter G gods, to their faith in the God. They were to look to God because He is the only one and true God, the God of all creation, the God of Israel. And so God only knows exactly what's going on in the hearts and lives of people around the world. But we find here that as they went in, they were directed by the Lord to go to a house that is known as the house of Rahab the harlot. Now, only God would direct. God controls all the circumstances of life. And at this particular time, they were directed to go to the house of Rahab. And it would be that Rahab and her family would be the only ones to be spared by God in Jericho. The only ones. Now, if you would, Joshua chapter 6, look over there with me. And this is as they go in now, in Joshua chapter 6, it gives us, and our Bible character we're looking at here tonight is Rahab the harlot. In Joshua chapter 6 and verse 22, the Bible says, "But Joshua said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out this woman and all that she hath, as ye have swear unto her." And the young men that were spies went in, brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought all out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein. Only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass, of iron and of iron, they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, in the recording of this word, even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Rahab the harlot. Now, God has recorded this historical event. God has recorded the life of this woman who is known as Rahab the harlot, and God has recorded it so that we might learn from it. As I said, God tells us to live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. The Bible is the word of God from Genesis all the way through to the book of Revelation, and we are to learn of every word, and we are to receive every word and learn of those biblical principles in the Old Testament. And then, of course, New Testament Christianity is followed in the very image and the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, first of all, as we look at this Rahab the harlot, can I tell you that God knew Rahab's heart? A converted Rahab would not pose any problems to the children of God. A converted Rahab. Because conversion means that I have looked to Jesus Christ, or I have looked to the God of Israel, and I realize that He is the true God, and I have put my faith in Him. Conversion is a change of mind that leads to a change of life. Repentance is conversion. There has to be repentance. And so the idea there is whatever lifestyle a person is living, when they are introduced to an Almighty God and introduced to Jesus Christ and Christianity, that individual, if they make the choice, can have their lives changed. Amen. And so we find here that Rahab the harlot, and now if she would have continued in her lifestyle, if she would have continued in her gods that she would have worshiped that led to her lifestyle, have to understand that she was just agreeing with a lifestyle that was dictated by the religion that she was under. And in her religion and in her lifestyle, being a harlot was something that was acceptable lifestyle. And so we find that she was in the land of Canaan and underneath these false gods and these false teachings, and Rahab was just yielding to what would naturally be understood as acceptable in the flesh. But God come on the picture. Amen. The nation of Israel, she probably had never heard of the God of Israel. She more than likely had never heard of Joshua or Moses. And yet when they started coming across the land, they heard of the number of Hebrews that had been delivered out of Egyptian bondage. They heard about how God had fed them in the wilderness, and this would have been the news that was coming to them, and they're coming our way. And she had heard of what God was able to do, what the people of Israel was able to do through their God. Something clicked inside of her. Something clicked inside of her to help her to understand that she was serving a false god. God knew Rahab's heart. God opened a door for her to believe and to receive him. This is what I'm looking at here tonight. As we're looking at the story, this Bible character named Rahab, she's living the life of a harlot. More than likely, she was probably raised in this profession. Possibly her mother was a harlot. She's raising her children to understand that this is an acceptable lifestyle because this is all she has known. And yet we find that her life is about ready to change. Rahab was a harlot because she was taught wrong. Rahab was going to raise her children to be harlots because she was void of the truth. And that's what false religion does. That's what humanism does. That's what the ways of the world would lead to if we turn away from the very words of God. Very important for us to understand that we have the Word of God because it is God's love letter to mankind. It's God's mind that He has had it written down and preserved that we might know the thoughts, the very mind of a Creator God. What a blessing it is to have that. You've heard me say, and I think it's very true, if a person is not hearing the truth, they're more apt to believe a lie. We somewhat mentioned that in our Sunday morning Sunday school today. And as the people had just been given the Ten Commandments and they had made a decision that they were going to follow and agree to the laws that God had established for a moral behavior in the Ten Commandments, and Moses was the one that was presenting it to them as God presented to Moses, and Moses presented it to the people. And they say, whatever it is, if this is God's word, then we are going to adhere to it. We're going to live by this. We make this covenant with God. But the truth of the matter is, they didn't make the covenant with God. They made the covenant with Moses. And when Moses failed to come down in the time period that they thought he should come down to them, then they said, we don't know what's happened to this Moses. And they went to Aaron and said, make us other gods. Because they were focused on Moses instead of being focused on God. Amen. Can I tell you that if you're focused on a religion, you're focused on a man, you're focused on a church and not God, you're apt to go a different direction when that something happens to that man. Right. Something happens to that church. Something happens to the headship of whatever denomination or religion it is that you're following. You see, we are not looking to follow man. We're not looking to follow a religion. We're looking to understand who God is. And we, as we understand who God is, we need to make a commitment to God. Amen. And because God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. God is unchangeable. God is who He is. And so as we look to Him, we make a covenant with God. We understand that I'm going to follow God's leadership in my life. And so we have here the children of Israel coming across the wilderness, and they're getting ready to possess the land as God would give it to them. And as before they go into Jericho, they find this woman named Rahab. Only God knew if Rahab, when presented with the truth, would receive it. Can I tell you that there's many living in sin today because they've not been told the truth. And only God knows if they will change if given an open door. And that's where we come in. That's where we come in and are led by God to go knock on doors. We're led to God by giving out tracts. We're led by God to try to help people to understand the truths of a living God. Now, I don't believe that Rahab ever rejected God. She didn't know about God. I don't believe that she rejected God's lifestyle, the Christian lifestyle. She didn't know the Christian lifestyle. She was just following that which she had been taught. She was falling in a direction that possibly every generation that she can remember, her mothers, her parents, her grandparents, they had all received the very same and served the very same God. And she was getting ready to raise her family the same way until God opened a door. God opened a door because he knew her heart. In the New Testament, look over to Luke in chapter 8 with me. This is nothing new. This is something that God has done since the very beginning of time. God looks on the heart. Man looks on the appearance because he can't see into the heart. That's why appearance is important, because that's your testimony to man. But God does look on the heart, and God knows exactly what's going on in the heart. In Luke in chapter 8, the Bible says in verse 1, "And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village." This is Jesus Christ presenting the gospel. "He went into every village and preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And a certain woman, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils." What kind of lifestyle do you think that a person possessed with 7 devils would live? That was Mary Magdalene. To look upon Mary, no doubt people were calling her a harlot. To no doubt people are looking at her and calling her a thief. No doubt she would have been looked at somebody that would have been on drugs and alcohol and lived the kind of the worst life that you could imagine. But God knew her heart. And he opened a door to Mary Magdalene by allowing Jesus Christ to come by her way. And when she heard the Savior, it changed her life. She heard the Savior and she realized the lifestyle that she had been living and the things that she had given herself to were lies and deceit. And she received the truth of the Savior. And it goes on to say, "And Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance." Once they realized the truth, their lives changed. Amen. And they started serving God and ministering to Christ. Amen. That's powerful stuff. John chapter 8. This is how God works. John chapter 8, verse 10. This is a woman that intentionally was caught in adultery. I believe she was set up. I believe she was an adulteress. I believe that was her lifestyle. But they wanted to see how Jesus would respond in such a situation. And so the men of the city set her up so that they could actually get her and catch her in the midst of adultery, in the midst of the act of adultery, so they could bring her to Jesus, and according to the Old Testament law, that she should be stoned. And so they set her up to be stoned, or to see how Jesus would interpret the Old Testament law. And as we look here in John chapter 8, Jesus said in verse 9, "And they which heard it," first of all, in verse 7, it says, "When they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." He knew that they set her up. He knew by the conviction of their own hearts. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. "And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord." She realized there was something different about this man. She had never met a man like this. She had never understood the truths of God. And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go, change your life. Sin no more. You know it's wrong. You know the lifestyle that you've been living is sinful and wrong. Change your life. Remember me. go and sin no more. Wow. Several years ago, I remember counseling a couple who were preparing to get married. And I was going through premarital counseling, and I came to the place of God's will on their physical relationship. And I presented to them how it was God's will that they were to remain pure, and that God would bless them with a physical relationship that would last them a lifetime, would be a lifetime of enjoyment. But it was only enjoyment, it was only right in marriage. And I remember the girl just breaking down crying. And she said that she wasn't taught to keep herself pure like her fiancé had been. And she would have to live the rest of her life knowing that she went into this marriage outside of the will of God, like her husband had remained pure unto marriage. I couldn't tell her that it was all right. I could tell her, praise God, that she'd come to this place in understanding. And yes, there would probably be some difficulties associated with that they would have to deal with, and they would have to go over and talk with. With God's help, they could continue to have the blessings of God in their marital relationship. But can I tell you that sin scars? Every sin that ever has been committed is recorded by the brain. Whatever sin you've ever yielded to, and the pleasure, the temporary pleasure that might have went along with that sin, is recorded right here. And when you sin, you give Satan the opportunity to use that sin of the temptation to come back at you for the rest of your life, because it's there. And yes, will Satan try to use that to hinder a godly relationship? Yes, he will. But you can't change the past. You can just commit to the future. Amen. And as far as I know, they moved out of town, but as far as I know, they're still enjoying a healthy, godly marital relationship. God opened a door of opportunity for Rahab. Why Rahab? Who knows? But I know that God knows. Why did he direct those spies to go to the house of a harlot? Only God knows. But God knew Rahab's heart. And God was giving her an open door of opportunity because he knew that she would take advantage of it and allow it to make a difference. Can I tell you tonight, when God opens a door of opportunity, we need to take advantage of it, whatever that opportunity might be. Rahab would place her faith in the God of Israel. Go back with me in our text in Joshua chapter 2. In Joshua chapter 2. And she said unto them, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. She said, I believe in God's power. Amen. That's a good start. To believe in the power of God, to believe in what God has done in creating all things. When you understand that God says that he created all things, and that reveals to us that God's power is omnipotent power. God can do whatever God wants to do. If he was able to create the heavens and the earth, can I tell you, God with that kind of power can do whatever is imaginable in our minds. Whatever needs to be done, we have a God who's capable of doing whatever needs to be done. And we can have a personal relationship with that God. And we can actually let our requests be made known unto that God. And God desires us to pray. What a blessing. Rahab had an open door to understand who God is. And she believed in his power. She believed in his person. If you look in verse 11 there, the Bible says, "And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God." Amen. See, my religion is not just what I want it to be. People say as long as others are sincere in their belief in God, that all roads lead to heaven, and that's from the pits of hell. That is not from the Bible. The Bible very clearly reveals to us there's only one God. And He's a jealous God. We are not to add Him to whatever other gods we want to hold on to. We are to forsake all other religions. We are to forsake all other small letter G gods. And we are to focus on the person of God, the Father, and the person of God, the Son, and the person of God, the Holy Spirit. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have been given everlasting life, and then we're instructed to be baptized, and we're instructed to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, that we might understand the persons of God, the Trinity of God, unlike any other. So we find that she understood not only the power of God, but she believed in the person of God. He's real. Our gods are made out of wood and carvings. We worship idols. Your God's real. Wow. And she believed in His promises. If He'll make me a promise that He'll save me and my family, then He'll do just as He said He would do. In verse 12 and 13, it says, "Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." She knew that God would be able to uphold His promises. She believed in His promises. In the book of Romans in chapter 10, you know the verse very well. It's a verse of salvation. It tells us what a person's heart must be in order to be saved, where a person must be in their heart and their mind. The Bible says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you're saved here this evening, you've had to believe in the power of God to save you to the uttermost. You have to believe in the person of God, that He sent His only begotten Son to die for you, and the promise of God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So Rahab would place her faith in the God of Israel. And then lastly, tonight, Rahab's faith would enable her to change. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is Hebrews' hall of faith, if you will. Those that, as God give us a definition of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, then He gives us all these examples of faith. In verse 31, we find a harlot in her other life, in her pre-salvation life. We find a harlot named Rahab in Hebrews' Hall of Faith. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Rahab and her family converted and lived the rest of their lives for God. Amen. How do you know that? Well, in Joshua 6:25 said they remained in Israel. If they lived in Israel in the Old Testament time, if she continued in her lifestyle, she would have been stoned. If any of her family would have continued in their lifestyle because of the commandments of God, they all would have been stoned. But they continued to live there because they changed. They changed to the place where God says, I want the church to know about Rahab and her faith. And God placed her in Hebrews chapter 11. I don't know about you, but that just blessed my heart. It would have not been very easy because of her past reputation. There's been a lot of people who have been saved and had it difficult because of their past. Known as Rahab the harlot. She would have to say, I'm just Rahab. I'm not Rahab the harlot any longer. I got saved. I now put my faith in God. I'm no longer Rahab the harlot. I am just Rahab the Christian. I am Rahab, the one who loved God. I'm Rahab, the one who accepted God. I believed in His power. I believed in His person. I believed in His promise. And because of that, He changed my life. Yeah. She overcame that as well as anyone can today. No matter what your past, there's never an excuse for wrong behavior, but there's always reasons why people behave wrongly. Most of the time, it's because they believed lies. Most of the time, they was raised to believe it was all right. Sometimes they even had religion tell them to do it. It's never an excuse for wrong behavior. But when God opened a door of opportunity for you to know the truth, and you accepted the truth, you put the past behind you. And you overcome the past to live a life that is pleasing to God today. 1 John chapter 5. And we're getting ready to close here, so follow with me. 1 John chapter 5. In verse 4 it says this. For whatsoever is born of God. I love that. Whatsoever. Only people can be saved. But whatever you're coming out of, whatever you're coming out of, if you're coming out of an addiction of alcohol, an addiction of drugs, an addiction of sexual activity, whatever it is that you're coming out of, for whatever is born of God overcometh the world. Amen. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. What you have put your faith in, even our faith. Can I tell you tonight, we don't need to judge people because of their past. Now listen to me, we can't help but to be mindful of that. Just like when you forgive somebody, it's impossible to erase it from your mind. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness is saying, I'll put it out of my mind and never bring it back up again. I'm not going to bring it back up to you. It's impossible to take it out of your mind. But you're giving them a second chance. And you're opening, giving them a clear slate to make it right this time. True forgiveness is that. I'm not going to bring up your past. I've forgiven you from the past, and I've given you an open opportunity to make a difference in the future. Amen? What we need to do is consider where people are at today. Consider their love for God today. Can I tell you, if they're coming to church, that's a positive statement. Amen. For anybody to walk through the doors of, especially an independent fundamental Baptist church that's known for conservative beliefs, is known for preaching and teaching the Bible, for anyone to come through the doors of this church and sitting these pews, that is a testimony that I'm looking for an open door. Amen. And when God opens them a door and they take advantage of that opportunity, we need to jump on board and say, I want to help you.
Amen.
I want to pray for you. I want to help disciple you and teach you the truth. I've been asked many times, preacher, do you really believe that people can change? I would ask you that. Do you really believe that people can change? And my answer is, God can change lives.
Amen.
They might not be able to change on their own, but the God that I know can change lives. Our past should never be allowed to control our futures. Rahab continued to live in Israel, in the promised land, because she changed. And she had the blessings of God upon her and her family. What a great little-known Bible character that has a great message for us today. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. In Rahab's past life, she was Rahab the harlot. After she met God, put her faith in Him, she became Rahab the servant of God. I don't know what our past lives are, but if God's opened a door of opportunity, take advantage of it. Take advantage of it. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you this evening, Lord, only you know exactly how you wanted to use this message. I believe it's exactly what you'd have me to preach. I pray, God, that you would take the message personally, reveal to each one how you would have them to receive it. And if there's decisions that need to be made, I pray that they would be more than willing tonight to make that decision. Bless now in this invitation. In Jesus' name.